Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
And you're going to be blessed tonight. God's going to speak to you. God's been laying this on my heart a lot lately, and I'll explain to you in just a moment. And for some of you that are new, maybe you never realized the power of what you have in your mouth. And so we're going to be talking about that a lot tonight. And we're going to be talking about, for some of you that have been around a while, this is kind of like a renewing of your thinking, because sometimes when you've been around a while, you just forget about the stuff that's basic that Debbie and I were brought up on and literally built this church by the grace of God because of what the words were that were coming out of our mouth. And I believe that God really honors that. Here's what I'm going to say to you before we get into prayer. You are exactly where you're at today because of what you've been thinking and speaking over the last number of years. And if your life is crappy, then you should listen to what I have to say tonight. Because you can change the future by the right thinking, which we've talked about last time we were here together, and also the right words that come out of your mouth. And sometimes we forget about this process. And by forgetting, it doesn't mean it's ever going to work. You'll see this in the life of Jesus. You'll see Jesus speaking about it. You'll see it tonight, God the Father, who says and does exactly the same thing, creating the heavens and the earth. My goodness. Pretty good examples for all of us to learn a lesson is when you have Jesus, God the Father, doing this and the people writing about it, like the half-brother of Jesus, James himself. And the words are very important. So tonight, a couple things. You know, you can let yourself daydream if you want, and that's okay. It's your life. I can't make you do anything, and I don't want to try to, well, I do. I want to try to make you do this. So anybody says, I don't want to be made, too bad. You ought to come in here with a plow. Heart that the Holy Spirit wants to really make you do something. And I want to see your life prosper as a pastor. My whole life has been, what could I do in our lives, Debbie and I, to help prosper the people of God? You know, and I'm talking about prosperity. God, and a lot of times people don't understand this. God wants to prosper you in every area. God wants to prosper you in your marriage. God wants to prosper you with your finances, your dreams, your vision, your destiny, and even your future. What the heck? And I don't care how old you are. You could be 100 years old like me, and still God wants to prosper you. He's not finished. Let me tell you something. He's not finished with me until I take my last breath. And then it's adios. And I don't give a flip about any of the other stuff because I'm not taking it with me. And so God wants to prosper every area of your life. I was doing a conference a couple weeks ago, Debbie and I, and ministering on a weekend and a conference. And I said these words, and it's a church that has a hard time receiving anything about prosperity. And it made the statement, I said the statement is, it's obvious that God wants to prosper us. And they kind of just were quiet and stared at me. And I said, where did God put Adam and Eve? He didn't put them in a junkyard. He didn't put them in the barrios. You know, he didn't put them in the slum part of the city, you know, and say, here, fend for yourself. He takes them and puts them in the most perfect atmosphere that he could create, the garden. And in that garden, I mean, can you imagine the fragrance? Can you imagine the vision of the flowers? Can you imagine the taste of the water? Can you imagine that how good things were in that garden? That's the Father's heart. For you to believe anything less than that is ridiculous. And by the way, it's not only ridiculous, it's religion that tries to tell you that you're a lowlifer and you're not important and you can't expect anything from God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I want you to hear me. I'm a living testimony of His word and a living testimony of His prosperity. There's hardly anything in Deborah's life and my life that we do, that we desire, that we don't have come to pass. And it's a blessing, and I'm not just saying that, it's a blessing for older people to stand in front of you and tell you how in the world they made it so that you, younger people, can do exactly that same thing. And so that's why I'm here with excitement tonight. So, but first of all, you've got to start thinking that God really does want to prosper, take you into a place of just as much beauty as the garden, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ takes you back to the original thing, back to the garden. So I want you to do something tonight. I want you to stand to your feet. And let's go before the Lord and let's pray, because as we've said, every time we gather together, we don't come into the house of God to hear from a man or a woman. We don't come to hear from an old man or a young man. That's like so totally immature of anybody that comes in. Anybody that comes in and says, you know, I don't like that guy because I don't like his shirt, or maybe he doesn't have enough holes in his jeans, or they're too baggy. You know, I mean, that's just like totally, completely stupid. Because it's not what's on the outside of a man that counts with God. It's what's on the inside. And, you know, we need to stop looking past that. So this is not about a white man or a black man, tall man, short man, young man, old man. This is not about any of that stuff. It's about the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher. Now, if you don't get anything out of tonight, and you just came for the first time tonight, check us out, then whatever church you go to, be as wise as you could possibly be. Don't go there to hear from some man. Go there to hear from the teacher of the Holy Spirit. That means here's how this works, by the way. As you're listening to the man or woman or young guy, old guy, whatever it is that you're listening to, then all of a sudden something quickens on the inside of you about what's being said, or about your life, about a truth. And that's the Holy Spirit doing that. I can't tell you how many times over the years, Daphne, are you there? Yeah, there you are, wave at everybody. Daphne's, I always remember Daphne because she's part of our American Sign Language ministry. And for years, but years ago, when I was teaching in the old building, I don't know how many years ago, it was like 15 years ago, right, Daph? And she came up to me after, she said, oh, Pastor, you spoke those words. They were just for me. And I'm thinking it was my message. Then she started repeating back to what I said. I didn't say any of that stuff, you know? And it wasn't me at all. She had heard from God, thought it was me. And her life has been hung up on Jesus and blessed ever since. Is that not true, Daphne? Yeah. And so why don't we get smart and stop judging a man or a woman or whoever's in front of you, and start getting smart and listening to the Bible and listening, be sensitive for the Holy Spirit to speak to you during these periods of time. Nothing more is in desire of God than to penetrate your thinking and your heart tonight and speak to you about something that'll confirm inside of your life and bless you in every area of your life. God wants to minister to you tonight. I want to minister to you tonight, but you haven't come to hear from me. Thank God. You've come to hear from God, so He wants to minister to you. Father, here we are. We come to you in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. We thank you, Father, that we haven't come into the house of God and never going to again come into the house of God to hear from a man or woman or, you know, whatever. We've come to hear from the teacher who is the Holy Spirit. So welcome, Holy Spirit. Touch us, heal us, strengthen us, encourage us, guide us, guard us, direct us, and motivate us to be all that the Father had planned us to be, all that the Son has spoken over us to be, all that you have empowered us to be. God, we submit our lives and our hearts to you tonight. Speak to us so that we can be all that you would have us to be. At the end of our life, you will look at us in heaven, because you will look at every one of us. And we want to hear these words: well done, good and faithful servant of God. Oh my, what wonderful words. Father, bless all the churches of the Inland Empire, as well as around the planet, that are preaching, hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in agreement with that, say amen. Get your Bible, go with me, if you will. Profound words of Jesus out of Matthew, the 12th chapter. We kind of touched on this before, but I just wanted to go a little bit deeper in it. and share some things that I've just been meditating, thinking about with the Holy Spirit. You know, when I read my Bible, I talk to God. You know, I read a little bit and talk to God a lot about the little bit. So I get up, you know, we have pretty good conversations about things. And I feel after all of these years, one of the strong points of my life is being able to hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe not like you would think it's the voice of the Lord, but there's, like I've explained to you before in the past, a settling on this inside that I know that God has just spoken to me. When I read these verses, I knew immediately this is the verses God wanted to share with you tonight. I didn't know what he wanted to share exactly because I just read the verses, so I had to go over them and talk to him about it numerous times, and that's how we finally get to the place where we're at tonight. So this is not just me ministering, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you through a man, and I'm grateful. Here's Jesus, he's just frustrated as he can. I don't know if he's frustrated. Does Jesus ever get frustrated? If I was Jesus, I would be frustrated with the scribes and the Pharisees. And I don't know if he is or not. He's pretty cool about everything and knows, you know, what's going on before it ever goes on, you know. And so he's got it really all under control. All of us would have been frustrated. So then these scribes and Pharisees, they've called him names. They've called him all kinds of things. They're kind of like bugged at him. And, you know, he just speaks at them and says things to them, and he makes some points, you know. And one of the points he's making here in the 12th chapter, starting in verse number 33, after he's speaking to them, he says these words, and I'm going to put this up on the overhead, and then we're going to talk about it. And I love this. In verse number 33, listen to this. It says, either. Just stop right there. That is a pivotal point. It's an expression that says, either do something one way or the other. You know, we say it like this, either get on or get off. Get up or get down. Do it or don't do it. Make up your what? Mind. And he's making this statement about these guys, and he says these words, either, and I love this next word, it's kind of a fascinating word. He says, either make. Now, when he says either make, that means now all of a sudden it's us that can do something. It's not like either decide or either choose. Now he says you're to build something. You can do something. You have to make a choice to do something. You have to make a choice. He didn't say decide or to run with it or just, you know, either hear or don't hear. He said, make something happen. You can make it or not happen. So now the responsibility of these two words are, it's our choice. We have to do something or not do something. And that's what he's talking about in the two words. Two words explode with revelation. He says, the tree good and its fruit good. Make the tree good and its fruit good. Stop right there. When you see the tree, the life that you and I live on this planet is often referred to like a tree as an example. We will be planted somewhere. Remember, Psalm says you're planted by the springs of living water and you partake. And oftentimes throughout Scripture, human beings are referred to like trees. If they're planted in the right place, drawing the right nourishment, have the right cultivation, have the right weather, have the right conditions, they will do something. They'll be a healthy tree. And a healthy tree produces something. So instead of looking at it from a tree's perspective, because we don't really give a flip about making a tree good or bad right now tonight, you have to understand what he's really talking about is you. So he says, either make you good and its fruit good, or else make the tree or you bad and its fruit bad. In other words, come up with a decision. Stop walking on both sides of the fence. Start doing it. And he's talking to these hypocrites. He's talking to these Pharisees and scribes. You know, they're half good over here. They look good to people, but deep down inside, they're polluted on the inside. And, you know, he's just really frustrated with them in that area because they're just living their life out on both sides of the fence. How many people do we know that are called themselves Christians that live on both sides of the fence. Probably most people that we know that call themselves Christians live on both sides of the fence. He says, look, you have the ability to take your life and make something good out of it, and that you produce something good. Not just to be good, but to produce something. In other words, I don't want to just be something that's good. I don't want to be just a tree. I want to be a tree that produces something good. In other words, I don't want to be just a man. I want to be a husband. I want to be someone who produces in my life something good that changes the world around me. And he says this, either do that or make it bad, if bad fruit. For the tree is known by what it produces. So stop, think about it just for a second. The tree is known by what it produces. If I had an orange up here, we'd all know it comes from what kind of a tree? An orange tree. If I had an avocado, we'd all know what it came from. It would come from an avocado, right? A tree is known by what it produces. If I had a blueberry, what kind of a tree would that come from? Nah, it doesn't come from trees. It comes from bushes. Well, anyway, nice try. I think you're getting the point. You'll be known by what you produce. And can I just say this? Known by who? Not only known by people, you'll be known by God. I mean, can you imagine that God's going to look at what you produce at the end of your life and know what kind of a person you were? And that's really what he's saying. I mean, what do we produce? We produce compromise, we produce frustrations, we produce anger, we produce skepticism, we come along, we're frustrated, we're full of anxiety, we're full of worry, we produce all kinds of garbage in our life. And God says, hey, you know what's neat about this is you don't have to because of the first two words. In other words, I've given you now the ability to make the choice. I thank God that God gives us the ability to make the choice. You know, people that pray, oh God, make me good. God's yelling back, make yourself good. I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, oh God, make me not want to do this stuff. Listen, make yourself not want to do that stuff. Come on. What more can he do but go to the cross, give you the Holy Spirit, the power to do that? Now he's supposed to come down and hit you with the head with a 2x4 so you stop doing it? In other words, you're going to have to understand, in order for you to be what God has you to be, it's your choice, it's your call. Either make it good, your life that produces good things, or either make it bad. But guess what? You're going to be found out by what you produce. See, and so Jesus is speaking, he's like incredibly profound words. So, you know, when it comes to like let's just take my marriage for an example. I'm in love with my Debbie, and I just think she's the most gorgeous thing in the whole wide world. I drive her nuts because I can't get enough of her. And she sometimes says, do you don't want to go play golf with the guys or something? You know, go fishing or something. I said, well, you know, like, it hurt my heart. I just wanted to hang around you, you know? She said, well, I sometimes like to go, you know, shopping. Well, I'll go with you. No, that's not, you know, girls know what I'm talking about, right? When men go shopping, it's like something comes over them. It's like they have mall speed. Mall speed is like this. You know, Debbie's lost everywhere. You could take her out in the parking lot right now, she wouldn't know where the car is. But guess what? When she gets into a mall, she knows exactly where every store is. It's true. Is that not true, Deb? I mean, you don't get lost in the mall. You know where everything is. It's like, okay, so I go to the mall and say, well, okay, I'm looking for a shirt. She says, okay, well, here, these shirts are. She knows where everything's at. That's just the way it is. I love being with her. So I want in this marriage, not just have marriage, I want the marriage to produce something. Because without the marriage producing something, it's just a marriage. A marriage that has something produces. It's the same thing with your business, same thing with your finance, same thing with your dreams and vision. Same thing about everything. Whatever it is you're going to do, it's your call. Ooh, let me try to say that again. Whatever it is you're going to do, it's your call. What if God is going to show us tonight how to make those calls that God wants to get behind and bring to pass for your future? What if I just show you that tonight? In other words, that you make the right calls for your life And God's going to get involved with it by doing the, if you stay doing the right things, that's going to be blessings to your life down the road. Don't tell me you don't want blessings. Are you following me? I know you do. You'd have to be an idiot and stupid not to. Anybody that's an idiot and stupid, please raise your hand. We'll pray for you afterwards, but because we cast the devil right out of you because you're an idiot, stupid person. And stupid people do what stupid does. And somebody said that one time who was a very smart man. What was his name? Forrest Gump. Turn to the book of Forrest with me. Okay, now here's the deal. So here's verse 33. Let's go to verse 34. Verse 34. And he's looking at the Pharisees. You know, sometimes we think Jesus is so nice, he would never say anything rude. You know, and when I've been criticized all my life because I'm blunt, you know what I mean? I'm like, in your face, say it like it is. I mean, don't clap, it's terrible. It's actually terrible. You know, and all my life I've just been that way. I've just been like a bull in a china shop. I feel like if I have something to say, I say it. And you know, Debbie said, God, you need to be nice, or you need, you know, stop hurting people's feelings. And I had so many enemies in the church that you would email me, and there was my secretary right there. And Christine would have to read all the emails and send them to somebody else. She wouldn't give them to me because I didn't want to spend all day long listening to you guys complain about my rudeness. But here's, may I say something about that? Look at this verse. Brood of vipers. In other words, he just said, you gutter sucking people, I'm just here to tell you something, man. You are offsprings of a snake. So all of a sudden we get these pictures. We go to these churches, they present Jesus to us as this one who is just, oh, so sweet, so kind. And don't misunderstand. When the time was, he is sweet and kind and wonderful. There's no doubt about it. There's no one loves like he loves. But when it says it like it is, and he needs to say something like he is, you know, he can say it. You offsprings of snakes. Can you imagine if I stood in front of you tonight and said, listen, you offsprings of snakes. And you got out of here and you'd say, hey, you know, that guy wasn't very Christian. Hello? So Jesus is really pounding on him right now. He comes along. He says, how can you, being evil, stop right there. See the word evil? Circle it in your Bible. It's an interesting word. We so misunderstand the word evil. We see it as something from the devil, some demonic activity. No. Evil is not just something that is a demonic activity from the devil. Evil is anything contrary to the ways of God. With me, you got to get that. Anything contrary to the ways of God is the opposite. It's evil. So here you have one talking about good, the other talking about evil. In other words, one's talking about things of God, one's talking about anything contrary to the ways of God. You followed me in the verse. And he makes this statement, he says, how can you be an evil? And the next word is an interesting word, speak. Everybody say the word speak.
Speak.
Nah, come on, about half of you playing with me tonight. The other half, come on. Everybody say the word speak.
Speak.
Okay, so here he comes along and makes a statement. He says, you be an evil contrary to the ways of God. And can I just say this about contrary to the ways of God? Anything that's contrary, listen, you got to get this. I don't give a flip what people say. It could fit with our society, and it could fit with our social system, and it could fit with our politics, and it could fit with the Supreme Court. But if it's not God's way, it's evil. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. Don't email me your stuff trying to change the Bible. I just trash it. You know, I just trash it. I don't even pray for you. I just crumble it up and throw it away. Let somebody else pray for you. You're bringing the evil out in me. So here it comes along. He says, and see, and then and we've talked about this a lot over the years. And this is how I do business. This is how I think. This is how I sit back and watch people doing things. I just had, I won't tell you who, and a very big politician. I'm sitting talking to them about things, you know, and I just sat back and listened. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of their heart, their mouth's going to tell me everything. Tells me about how deep their relationship is with God. Tells me if they even care about God. Tells me if they're egotists. Tells me about how much they care about themselves more than they care about other people. Tells me about everything. Oftentimes, just on that verse, if you want to do great business in the future, just shut up and listen. And it'll tell you everything. So all you got to do is let people talk. The people talk, because out of their heart comes words, and you can figure out where they're at. Is anybody listening? But I've told you that before. We've taken that verse, we've meditated it before and thought about it before. But it's so much more than this, because he says, be an evil, speak good things. Now you can't do it. Because inside of your heart is a bunch of junk. So only junk's going to come out. Now watch the next verse. Verse number 35. A good man. Now, the word good is opposite of evil. Evil is anything contrary to the ways of God. A good man is a man that is doing none good but God. So it's not one who fits into society and makes everybody happy. He's a good man. It's someone who does godly things. Are we clear on that? Because if you're not clear on that, then you're going to judge what's good. You know how your kids come in and say, we haven't done anything wrong. We're good. But have you done what's God? You know, so you can do what's good according to the school, according to your teacher, according to a sergeant in your army, according to, you know, your boss. You do good, but if it doesn't fit with God, it's evil. So he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, godly things. This is the difference, my friends. Out of his heart. And what's he doing? Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. Remember, we said that word out loud. What was the word we said out loud? Speaks. He says, out of the good things comes forth a godly man. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Do we have 36? Do we do 36? Or we stop right there? But I say unto you that for every idle word man may speak. Now, this where this verse gets really, you know, this is where it gets really scary. Sometimes it's easier to preach without having verses like this one. You know, if I could just cross out a verse out of what we're gonna say, I would, but I can't. Because this is not easy. It says this. That for every idle word man may speak. For every idle word man may speak. One more time. For every idle word that man may speak. Whoo! They will give an account of it in the day of judgment. I don't know. I'm hoping that God looks the other way on my idle words. How about you? You know, I can handle anything except that thing. You know, we speak stuff that we shouldn't be speaking about people, about our friends, about... what if I said to you, the whole point that I'm trying to make here is that the things that you speak will come back to you. It'll either come back to you in good measure, God's behind it, bringing blessings to you, or it'll bring back in the cursings that you spoke out of your mouth. Those idle words will come back to you as cursings. I happen to have someone bring me a couple of pictures of some old friends years and years and years ago. I knew them 50 years ago. And when I knew them, I knew these two people. They were the most negative people in the whole world. I'm telling you, have you ever been around somebody that don't have anything good to say about anybody? And if they had something, I mean, when they're face to face with people, they're okay. But as soon as the people left, man, they're this, they're that, they're this, they're that. They're negative, 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 bad, 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 bad. I mean, it's just bottom line, really just hated people. Both of them. And I remember that. And I hadn't seen them 50 years. And they both called themselves Christians. And they brought me pictures of both of them. They're both years younger than me. So they're only like in their early hundreds.
No.
But they're years younger than me. And they look like they were 50 years older than me. In their deathbeds. Dying. Why? Because out of their mouth was proceeding garbage that comes back for whatever measure you judge, it comes back to you. You know what I mean? And faith comes by hearing. You don't have much faith in humanity if you're constantly negative about the things, people in your life. So whatever you speak is going to come back. And that's what he's trying to say. You're going to give an account for it. 37, just for a second. It says, for by your words... That is really crazy, isn't it? By your words, remember, your words come from your what? Ah, wait a minute, only five of you got it. Let's try it again. Your words will come from your heart. It really reveals your heart. And so he says, by these words, you'll be justified. In other words, you're going to come along and the high courts of heaven are going to gavel, come down and say, you're innocent. Or those words are going to do something, the gavel of heaven's going to come down and say you're convicted. I know who you are by what you say and by what's really in your heart. But wait a minute, Lord. Did we not prophesy in your name? Go for me, you worker of iniquity. Wait a minute. You remember the verses that Jesus is saying? The people will come to him and say, Lord, Lord. And he will say to them, go from you, workers of iniquity. And they're going, workers of iniquity? Wait a minute, Lord. We prophesied in your name. You know you have to have some kind of a relationship with God to prophesy in his name? You'd have to have some mental awareness of who God is and what God's all about in order to prophesy in his name. It's not like people come along and say, I know who Jesus is, and all of a sudden they just come along and start prophesying. You'd have to have some kind of a fairly mental, deep relationship with God to prophesy. And he says to these people, go from your work of iniquity. I know you're not. And they say, wait a minute. We've done mighty, marvelous works in your name. Can you believe that? And then he says, go for me, workers of iniquity. I know you're not. And then they say to him, wait a minute. We've cast out devils in your name. You'd have to have some kind of a pretty good insight about who Jesus is. But he says, go for me, your workers of iniquity. Why? Because of the things that came out of their mouth showed their real heart. They may have known what to do religiously and with Jesus and how to do it, but their heart tells the real story, and that back in from the heart comes the words of your mouth. And that is, my friend, a scary thing, is sometimes the things that come out of our mouth are so negative and so contrary to things of God and so lack of faith that it should scare every one of us. Is everybody listening? Now, in the Bible, it says something in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And in verse number 4, the 11th chapter, I'm just going to pop it up. Verse number 1, it says this, first of all. Verse 1 says, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things, what? Not seen. So my faith is about something I don't see. Sometimes I speak all the time because of what I see, instead of speaking about the truth, God's word, about what I don't see. But that's not the point I want to make to you. Verse number 2 comes along and it makes this statement, for the elders obtain a good testimony, because that's how they lived by faith. The operating faith. But verse 3 is a fascinating verse. Verse 3 says, by faith we understood that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, the worlds were framed, put into existence, exist, is another way of saying it, by the word of God. so that the things which are seen, that's his natural stuff, watch this, we're not made of things which are visible. If they're not made of things that are visible, then they were, this stuff, natural stuff, is made out of things that were invisible. Do you understand that? Do you read that? Do you see what happened? Here's God saying something. The world exists and was not made from the visible, but God spoke it into existence. And now the frame comes out of the invisible into the tangible. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you a godly principle. This is a godly principle that God speaks to those things that are not as if they are and brings them to pass. And you say, no problem, that's God, I understand that. Good, let's take a look at Genesis. And the cool thing about Genesis, first chapter, you know how God creates the heavens and the earth and there's darkness and he speaks the light. And he saw in verse number 4, first chapter of Genesis, listen to God. God says, and saw the light, and he says, and that was good. Wait a minute, is he finished? No. He's going to change the heavens, going to change the seas, he's going to put the animals on. And after each one of those things, what does he say? It's good. God says it's good not because it's finished. God says it's good because he sees the beginning and what it's going to be. Is anybody listening? And so God says, and all through that, God said, if you read Genesis first chapter, God said, God said, and it was, and God said, and it was, and God saw it was good, and God said, and it was, and God said, and it was, and God saw it, and it was good. So all of a sudden, here's God, he hadn't even finished doing the construction of this planet, and he says, the first step, wow, that's good, because you know why he says it's good? Because he knows what the end's gonna be like. So here's this biblical principle. Remember, Jesus is talking to us, his Pharisees, and also talking to us today, as well as his disciples that were listening, about the words of your mouth and what you speak, and that you're literally going to be justified or condemned by what you say out of your mouth. Let me tell you something about this church. Debbie and I, we didn't know how we were going to build this church. We were broke. We just knew God wanted us to build this building, wanted us to build this church. We broke. And we spoke it and we kept speaking it. God's gonna do it. We started this groundbreaking in this church. Everything you see in June of what year it was, I don't even remember. And in June, 1 year later, we had an opening day. We built the whole place in 1 year. Because God said, and we kept speaking it. Every negative thing, every demon in hell tried to stop us, every financial devil comes at you from every direction trying to stop you. But no, hear what we did. We understood the principle, and we're going to speak just like what God said, those things that are not as if they were. We're going to take it out of the invisible and bring it into the natural. And today you're sitting in a place because of what we speak. Listen to me. Last week, when you had your time on Sunday night, when you turned around and looked at all the empty chairs and you spoke over those empty chairs, can I tell you something? If you don't see it first in the spirit realm and start speaking about it, you'll never have it in the physical realm. And you need to see it and speak it. Now, in order for God to get involved in things, here's how it works. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together. So watch this. The Father imagines, thinks, sees it. The Son is the Word, declares the Word over it, and the Holy Spirit brings it from the invisible to the visible. Is anybody hearing me? And so the process is God the Father thinks it, God the Son speaks it. Jesus said, the words that I speak are not mine, but he that sent me. And God the Holy Spirit works on bringing it to pass. It is the exact same principle with your future. You can sit all the rest of your life belly aching to God, saying, God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. My bank account says this. My wife says this. My kids are negative. My boss says we may not make it for very long. I don't know how we're going to make it. God, I don't know how we're going to do this. It's so down and out. Can I tell you something? At the end of too much longer, you will be down, out. You will be exactly what you've been saying. But if you say, God, I want you to hear me. My boss said that he's shutting the place down if we don't make changes. I don't want you to know. You're going to get me a better job than the one I have here if he shuts it down. You start speaking over yourself. That's what Deborah and I have done all our life. I have called her my Debbie all my life. That's my Debbie. I love my Debbie. I love my Debbie. There's times when I wanted to knock her out. But I'm going to tell you, and there's times when she wanted to knock me out. I think she could. And yeah, but I'm in love with her because we speak that. What you speak, you will have. And that's what Jesus says. You're going to be justified by what's coming out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks and it reveals who you are. Why don't you stop being negative? Why don't you stop being down and out? Why don't you stop questioning your future? Why don't you stop questioning your bank account? Why don't you stop questioning? Because you don't know how it's going to come to pass. Listen, I don't know how he's going to take it out of the supernatural and bring it into the natural. But I know my God is a supernatural God. Now, with that in mind, I'm the half-brother of Jesus. His name is James. He was the pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? And so James writes to a very, if you will, frustrated church that's under heavy persecution. And he writes these words in the third chapter. In verse number one, my brethren, Don't let many of you become teachers, knowing that they will receive a stricter judgment, which is just pure wisdom. But verse 2 starts something even better. For we all stumble. For we all stumble. Isn't it wonderful that we can all grow together? You know, isn't it wonderful that God didn't say, you know, only the ones that are perfect make this. We all stumble. We all make mistakes. We all do things the wrong way. Now watch what wrong way he's talking about. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in, what's that word?
Word.
If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Perfect meaning mature in this relationship with God the Father through his Son Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Able also to bridle his whole body. In other words, I am able to control my entire body by the words that come out of my mouth. That's what he just said. But he doesn't just say it once and then we just say, oh, it must not be really God. Because he goes on and he beats this up in order for us to get the real picture. In verse number 3, indeed, now he starts to give us, the word indeed means I'm going to show you a picture of what I just said. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Remember, the words of my mouth control my body. An example here is that little bit. That little bit is a, if for those of you who don't know, Debbie and I had horses when we were young. Debbie used to ride rodeo. She was a barrel racer. I'll bet she was a sexy barrel racer. Well, Grandpa can say that if he wants. After 102 years of marriage, I can say anything I want to say. And she actually had a pack station. Well, oh, no, I'm not moving on. You just be quiet, woman. And she actually had a pack station taking donkeys up to the High Sierras. And what?
Mules.
Sorry, not donkeys. Shows what a... cowboy I am. And this little bit goes in the mouth and it pushes down on the soft part of their gums. This little bit's about that long. You pop it in their mouth, you open their mouth, pop it in, and it sits on the bottom part of their gums. And that little bit puts such pressure to stop them, to keep them going, turn them right, left, controls a 1,200 pound plus animal. It's the most amazing. That's what he just said. That little thing controls this big animal. That was the example he gave. But he doesn't stop there. He gives another example, verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So in other words, in the back, here's these big ships, and a rudder the size of me runs these, you know, 100 ton ships, 200, 300 ton ships, just by a rudder that's in the back. This little rudder, the size of me, controls the direction of the ship. He's trying to make a point. Verse number 5. Even so, the tongue. Sorry. Even though the tongue is a little member that boasts great things, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. You know, some of the biggest forest fires we've ever had started with somebody flicking a little cigarette out of their car that was nothing more than a couple of sparks that tore down hundreds of thousands of acres. I don't even know what the largest one in America was, but it took days and weeks to get over it. All by one little spark. That's the way the tongue is. Verse number 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. In other words, you're believing God for something and you're speaking negative about it or about yourself or about the people you're around, about things, stuff coming out of your mouth that's junk. It's defiling everything you're believing God for because of what comes out of your mouth. Now listen to this. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Your tongue does this. And it goes on, verse number 7. Real interesting. He says, and every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creatures of the sea is, by the way, is tamed. Oh, I just spent Monday. Excuse me. Can I get a little water? I just spent Monday at SeaWorld with 5 of my grandkids. Thank you, Dan. Better take a little more. What'd you put in there? sorry, guys. So I just spent this time at SeaWorld, and I saw the dolphins, you know, and I saw the little otters, and I saw the seals. And I saw the humans. They're all trained. Same show they showed 20 years ago, they're still doing the same show. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The only thing interesting about SeaWorld is a fish floating around in there. And anyway, it says this, and we've tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. Now here's the problem. When you read that, he just told you how serious your tongue is, words that you speak and how it defiles your whole body. Then he comes along and he makes a statement that no man can tame the tongue. I guess we're doomed. I guess we don't have a chance. Then why would God tell us to watch our words? And why would God tell us to be cautious about this? And why would he describe a perfect man who is perfect in his word and then tell us this word, no man can tame the tongue? Here's why. Because if you try to do it on your own, you can't. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. And the Holy Spirit can tame you. It is unruly evil, contrary to the ways of God, full of deadly poison. And I like this, verse number 9. He says this. With it we bless our God and our Father. Oh, Lord, we love you. We sing songs in church. And with it we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. In order for you to prosper, you're going to have to stop cursing people and start seeing the best of them. Verse number 10. He says this, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Verse 11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? The answer to that is absolutely not. Verse 12. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You're going to have to decide with yourself what's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to point out the negative about everybody. You're going to point out the discouragement of life. Is there anybody in here that hasn't been discouraged by things in your life? You're going to point out the negative about your checking account. Point out how worried you are about not being able to understand how the future is going to come about. You're going to be in a place where you're full of anxiety in the middle of the night. Listen, what you think, you will speak. And what you speak is brought to pass. That is a Trinity biblical principle. God the Father sees it, thinks it. God the Son is the Word that speaks it. God the Holy Spirit brings it to pass. The same thing takes place in your life and in your future because He gives you the option. Here's the way I'm speaking. What tree are you building out of your life? A good tree that produces nothing, or a good tree that produces good fruit? If you're going to do this, you're going to have to watch the words of your mouth and start speaking those things that are not visible as if they are visible. And that's faith. Come on, somebody.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.